20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packer fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I just want to let you know, once again, I am recording this a little bit early. This is going to happen a lot on the weekends coming up. I got a lot of soccer tournaments, basketball tournaments for the boys coming up. So this is going to happen quite a bit. But recording this on Friday afternoon for Sunday's episode. This is why we have no news or updates today. Maybe, again, you live in a future where Trey Hendrickson's a Packer, Jaire Alexander's been released. I don't know any of those things at this point in time. So we've got no news to go over today, which does allow us, however, to jump right into our main topic for today, which is, what should have Green Bay done during this free agency period? Because I know a lot of people, and I'm kind of in this group a little bit as well, we're maybe hoping for a little bit more of a all-pro kind of player, a Pro Bowl player, a big-time star player that Green Bay could have added to this team to take them to the next level. All right? I think that's fair. You know, Green Bay had sort of earned the opportunity to go out there potentially and make a big move, because they have this really good roster that's already in place, and they could have theoretically gone big game hunting and found a star potential player, right? That's what I think a lot of people were hoping for. And then when you see that they got Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs, it's like a little bit of like, those are nice signings, right? Like, that's going to help the O-line. That's going to help the secondary, but you didn't do anything at wide receiver. You didn't do anything at pass rusher. And if we're talking about raising the ceiling in a significant way and getting those star caliber players, did you really do that? Or did you find two nice, good, solid players that are going to help your team, but maybe not elevate it to the next level? So what I wanted to go through, because now, I mean, the bulk of free agency is over, right? There's going to be some value free agent signings. Maybe there's still a Trey Hendrickson trade that's going to take place and things like that, but it's done. It is over with. All the main free agents are gone. So I wanted to look at what are some of the deals that these players received? What should Green Bay have done if, in fact, we wanted them to go big game hunting and find a star player? Are there any of these deals that could have made sense? And it's worth noting here that we don't know the logistics of all of this. There could have been a player that they were massively interested in that just had no interest in going to Green Bay. There could have been a player that they were this close to getting a done deal with, and maybe even had it just about signed, and then a player came over the top and offered them a little bit more and swooped in, and Green Bay got, you know, screwed out of a potential big-time free agent. We don't know how some of these things go, right? So it's tough sometimes to say, well, Green Bay should have done this for sure. We'll talk about Josh Sweat in just a moment. 4 years, $76 million. They should have gone out and signed Josh Sweat. That's a better deal than Aaron Banks at 4 years, $77 million. Very easily arguable, right? I think if you were to ask most general managers, and I don't know, maybe it's 50-50. I think if you were to ask most fans if they would rather have Josh Sweat at 476 or Banks at 477, I think most would take Josh Sweat. I probably would take Josh Sweat in that situation. Is Josh Sweat a star-level player, though? Is he going to be this ultimate game changer? No, he's not. He's not a star player. He's a really, really good defensive end. I think Aaron Banks can be a really good guard. But if given the choice, I would have probably taken Sweat. Maybe the Packers would have, too. Maybe the Packers would have loved Josh Sweat at 4 years, $76 million. But Josh Sweat said, no, I'm going to Arizona. Are you kidding me? Green Bay or Arizona? I'm going to take the warm climate. I'm going to go play with my old defensive coordinator in Philly, Gannon, who's now the head coach over there. Those are real opportunities or decisions that some of these free agents have to make. We get main character syndrome. Like, it's just all about the Green Bay Packers and what they want to do. Well, there's 31 other teams out there as well that are trying to do the best that they possibly can to upgrade their team. So it should be worth noting that it is possible that Green Bay had all the greatest intentions in the world of going out and signing some big time premier free agents, even if you want to label them as that, and it just didn't work out. Life happens and you have to move on and you have to adjust to see what you can get in your building. And maybe that's what Green Bay did. So what we're going to first go through is Matt Bowen, who I think, again, does an incredible job breaking down these free agents and who's available. We're going to go through his top 50 list and see who is out there, who Green Bay could have signed, what they went for, which ones maybe would have made sense for Green Bay. And then there's about another 18 players who were either traded or are on the trade block or signed free agent deals that weren't on that list for a variety of different reasons. So we're going to go through about 68 different players. I should have added one more. I know, I'm sorry. 68 different players that were available that maybe Green Bay could or couldn't have signed. We're going to go through them kind of lightning round here and just say, which one of these would have made sense? Which would you have done? And I'm very curious your thoughts on this, by the way. So I'm going to be checking out the comments afterwards. I want to know which of these deals, even if they were available, I'll say it one more time, we don't know if they were for Green Bay or not, but if they were, which of them would you have done if you were the Packers? So let's start with number one on his list, DJ Reed. Lions signed him to a 3-year, $48 million deal. I know there was talk of Green Bay was interested in the DJ Reed market. I think there's an interesting conversation to be had as to whether or not you'd rather have Nate Hobbs at 4 years, 48, or DJ Reed at 3 years, 48. I go back to this, and I talked about this before free agency started. So this is not, you know, well, now it's in hindsight and that the Lions signed him, screw that guy, or we never wanted him in the first place. I talked about this before free agency. I never really expected Green Bay to be in the market for a maybe 5'9 corner who, yes, is scrappy and pesky and plays good football, but just doesn't really fit what Green Bay does at that position. Jair Alexander was probably an outlier at 5'10, and he's probably got an inch and a half on DJ Reed. I just never saw that happening. So Nate Hobbs is much more their flavor of corner, and you get an extra year at the same exact price. So 4 years, 48 rather than 3 years, 48. I never expected Reed. I think there's a strong reason they didn't go in that direction, and he just doesn't quite fit the profile. Maybe they were interested still. Maybe they weren't, but I never really expected that one to happen. Number two on his list was Chris Godwin. He just stayed with Tampa. There were rumors out there or a report out there that he got offered like $22 million or something crazy more in free agency and just wanted to stay in Tampa. So he was never available to Green Bay. Number three, Sam Darnold. Green Bay didn't need a quarterback. We don't need to talk about that. Number four, Josh Sweat. We talked about it, right? 4 years, 76. I think you can make a strong argument if that contract was available to Green Bay, that 4 years, 76 for Sweat would have been more beneficial than 4 years, 77 for Banks. I think you can build the starting offensive line in Green Bay without Banks and still be good. They would have needed to add some depth and maybe some draft picks to that room as well, but I think you could have built that. And I think Josh Sweat would have been an impact player on that defensive line. There's certainly an argument to be made. And I'll say one more time, we don't know if he wanted to go to Jonathan Gannon in Arizona, if he wanted to go in a warmer climate, any of those things, whatever the case may be. Those are all possibilities. Maybe Green Bay wasn't involved in the conversation. This is the first one that I think you can make an argument, though. Green Bay should have probably been in the conversations for that and maybe tried to make something like that work. This is the first one. Number five, Milton Williams. You guys know I was a huge Milton Williams guy. He was kind of the guy I wanted Green Bay to get when I did my ultimate offseason for Green Bay. Milton Williams is who I put on that list. 4 years, $104 million. He got the absolute bag in New England. And, you know, what you're looking at there for a premium sort of player, I think was probably just more than what, you know, the Packers wanted to go with there. Actually, that was more than that. Now that I'm looking at this, I just want to make sure I have the number right. Yeah, 4 years, $104 million, $26 million per year. So for a pass rush only defensive tackle who doesn't stop the run, I think that was probably outside of Green Bay's purview. And for the guy that, again, got basically the biggest free agent contract out there, I'm not surprised that Green Bay wasn't super involved in that. I think it would have been a bridge to cross for them already to take somebody who just isn't a great run defender and just weaponize him as a pass rusher. We've literally heard Goody say he doesn't like doing that stuff. I still would have gone in that direction, but once it got to 4 years, 104, I think that's a very tough sell, and I can understand why Green Bay did not go in that direction. Number six, Charvarius Ward got a 3-year, $54 million deal. He's 30 years old, coming off a down year, and we understand why. Obviously, had the tragedy in his family, but there is some projection here as to whether or not he's still going to be able to play at a high level. I'll just say it. I don't mind at all Nate Hobbs at 4 years, 48 over Charvarius Ward at 3 years, 54. I think Ward is probably the better corner this year, but I'm not even sold on that based on how he played last year. Again, probably the off-field issue with him, the tragedy that he had in his family played a massive part in that. But I would have been more of the ilk of like, if somebody's going to sign him to that big of a deal, let the other team kind of figure that out and see if he can bounce back in 2025. So going with the younger player who has more versatility in Nate Hobbs, I don't mind it in that situation. I think Ward got a very big contract, and I don't know that if I were Green Bay, I would have wanted that at his age. Javon Holland, they did not need a safety corner hybrid at number seven. Joey Bosa was actually number eight on his list, which I was a little bit surprised by. 1 year, $12 million. He just can't stay healthy. I mean, 3 years combined where it's 1,000 snaps right around there combined over 3 years, playing a little bit over 300 snaps per year. just more injuries and more issues, can't stay on the field. I get why Buffalo took a flyer on it. And if that lottery ticket pays off, I understand it. It's not this huge contract, but yeah, I wouldn't have done that if I were Green Bay. I would have let some other team again take the chance on him. And it would have been an interesting signing. I wouldn't have hated it, you know, just based on if it pays off, it probably pays off big. But I just, he hasn't played enough. And the decline has showed as well. So 3 year, or sorry, 1 year, $12 million for Bosa. I can understand why Green Bay didn't want to go in that direction. Trayvon Morig was a safety, no need there. Cam Robinson at number 10 hasn't signed yet, but I'm not convinced he's better than Rashid Walker. I actually think Rashid Walker is better, and PFF would agree they had a higher grade on Rashid these past 2 years than they had on Cam Robinson. Dre Greenlaw at 11. Listen, 3 years, $35 million, I think is one of the better values for a player, but he is getting older. We have seen a bit of decline. We have seen some injury issues. And here's the bigger thing. Green Bay just, like, it would have been hard to find snaps. Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker are not coming off the field for Green Bay. So are you going to give a $35 million deal to a number three linebacker after already bringing back Isaiah McDuffie and after already drafting Tyron Hopper in the third round? There was just no chance that was going to happen. So I like that deal for Denver with Dre Greenlaw. I think it's a good value, but there was never going to be a time where Green Bay went in that direction. Number 12, Will Freeze. Listen, he played 268 snaps last year. There's a guard from Indy who goes to Minnesota. They give him a five-year, $87 million deal. So they pay him $17.5 million on average. Banks gets 19.25. Again, Freeze only played 268 snaps last year. He's basically kind of a one-year wonder. I think Banks is a better fit for Green Bay's offense than what Freeze is. It's close. If you want to say that you'd rather have Will Freeze than Aaron Banks, fine. I'm not going to maybe make this huge disagreement with you. Freeze is a little bit younger. But what I will tell you is, would you have felt any different? Would you have felt different if the free agent class was Will Freeze and Nate Hobbs instead of Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs? I don't think you would have felt any different. So I don't think you gain this star player by going in that direction instead of the way that they went. So I don't think that moves the needle in any sort of significant way. Number 13 was Byron Murphy. Number one, he just stayed in Minnesota. There was no chance to sign him. Number two, he got like $22 million per year. I wouldn't have given that much for Byron Murphy anyway. Number 14, Talanoa Afanga, the safety. He goes to Denver as well. Solid contract. Green Bay just, again, had no need for a safety whatsoever. Number 15, Carlton Davis. This is another one where I would have entertained Carlton Davis. I think Carlton Davis is a better outside corner than what Nate Hobbs is. He doesn't have the versatility of Nate Hobbs. Davis is a little bit older, but you would have got him at ages 28, 29, and 30. That's not bad ages to get him at. He gets 3 years, 54 versus 4 years, 48 for Hobbs. Again, doesn't have the versatility, but is arguably the better player. I would not have had an issue here if they went in this direction with Carlton Davis. I think he probably would have preferred Green Bay over New England, who is in the rebuilding phase. So this is one I probably would have checked into a little bit more if I were the Packers. And if you want to make the argument that they should have gone with Carlton Davis over Nate Hobbs, I wouldn't debate that with you. This is probably one of the ones that maybe they should have looked into a little bit more. I can understand why they like the versatility of Hobbs. And again, getting an extra year at $6 million cheaper, that's not insignificant either. So I can understand why they went with Hobbs. This is one I probably would have looked at a little bit more if I were Green Bay. Number 16 at the onset when it happened is one that I just thought, like, yeah, good luck with that. Hassan Reddick, 1 year, $13.2 million. I don't hate that because he comes off a bad year. It's a weird year for him. He holds out, then comes midseason. The team that he was with was already dead. There was a falling out between the two. Like, it was just a weird circumstance. Reddick's been a sack machine pretty much every single year, every single team. Every single team seemingly wants to get rid of him immediately, though, as soon as they bring him in. There's probably a reason behind that. Not a good run defender. 1 year, $13.2 million in hindsight for what this pass rush market went for. I would have been okay with Green Bay taking a flyer. The issue here is, one, he's not their type. Number two, if Green Bay, I wouldn't have gone anything more than 13.2. And by the way, I have no issue with Green Bay not doing this deal just in general, but I would have considered it a little bit more. But if Green Bay offered $13.2 million, Florida has no taxes. So he probably chooses Tampa, who is in the same sort of playoff realm as Green Bay has been, and he gets no taxes on it. He's going to, for somebody who very clearly cares about the money, just go back to last year, he's taking the Tampa. So what do you have to offer? $16 million, $17 million on a one-year deal? Like, Green Bay's just not going to do that. So that's another one that's probably just off your list. Number 17 on his list was Rasul Douglas. He's old, he's slow. Green Bay should not have gone in that direction. We've talked about that in the past. He is not signed yet. 18 was Stephon Diggs coming off an ACL. Listen, if that ACL was not a thing, I would have loved for Green Bay to go get Stephon Diggs. The ACL is a thing, and for that reason, I can understand why nobody has signed him as of yet. 19 is Drew Dolman, center for the Falcons, who signed with the Bears. 3 years, $42 million. Listen, I will absolutely listen to an argument if you want to say I would have rather had Drew Dolman at 3 years, 42 than Aaron Banks at 4 years, 77. I watched a bunch of Dolman. I've now watched a bunch of Banks. I think Banks is the better player slightly. Is it, 3 years, 42 versus 4 years, 77 difference? I don't know. I think Banks actually fits this offense a little bit better. However, now you need to move Elton to center. You could have just kept Elton at left guard, put Dolman at center. Then Dolman doesn't go to the Bears as well. Like, you can make some arguments here as to going with Dolman over Banks. And I would clearly listen to those. I don't necessarily have a huge preference. I do think Banks, again, is the better fit for this team and this offense. But if you wanted to say, hey, I would have gone with Dolman at that, I would totally understand it. So that's another one that maybe they could have done a little bit differently. I will ask you one more time. If this free agency period was Nate Hobbs and Drew Dolman instead of Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks, do you feel any real difference? It's still an offensive lineman and a corner. I don't think it changes the calculus all that much. I think you probably feel about the same with Dolman and Hobbs as you did with Banks and Hobbs. I don't think it, again, moves the needle one way or the other. Number 20 was Malcolm Kuntz, one-year wonder, and stayed with the Raiders coming off a major injury where he didn't play all of last year. Again, he stayed with the Raiders anyway, so there probably wasn't much of an opportunity there. Cam Bynum signs a big deal. Green Bay didn't need a safety anyway. Mekhi Becton still on the market. I do think Banks is a better fit for this offense than what Becton would have been, but that's going to be an interesting one depending on what he gets in free agency, if maybe Green Bay could have got a better deal on Becton than they did on Banks, but that's a little bit one to kind of keep an eye on. Amari Cooper, number 23, old, numbers are declining, had 44 catches for 547 yards and 4 touchdowns in 14 games last year. Just not the same guy. Can totally understand why Green Bay didn't do that or hasn't done that. He's still a free agent out there as of recording this. Asante Samuel, still a free agent. He can't tackle. He's not a run defender and did not fit in this. I would have taken Nate Hobbs over Asante Samuel, quite frankly. Justin Fields, they clearly didn't need a quarterback. Jonathan Allen, 3 years, $60 million deal. I just can't get myself to go there on $20 million a year on a 3-year contract for a player who has not been the same player with Washington the last couple seasons. I do think he fits very well in Minnesota, but I can very much understand why Green Bay did not want to spend that money on a player that's kind of like Kenny Clark already, and I don't think moves the pass rush needle in a significant direction one way or the other. Mike Hilton has not signed yet as a corner. He's a slot corner only. Don't think Green Bay would have been interested. Kevin Zeitler, this is another one where if you wanted to talk me into a 1 year, $9 million deal for Zeitler rather than 4 years, 77 for Banks, I think Zeitler's just the better player as of right now, but he's going to be 35 years old and you're getting him for 1 year. It's a one and done. It's a mercenary sort of signing. I would have considered it. Heck, I'd still probably consider it, but he's gone now. He's in Tennessee, but that would have been one where I could have definitely listened to. You could have saved some money in totality and maybe used it elsewhere. Maybe you could have gone like a Josh Sweat and still picked up a Zeitler, got a really good guard, and then now you have a pass rusher as well and still got Nate Hobbs. Like, they could have done that. But I can understand why he, again, wasn't a great fit in the offense. And then you also got just a 1 year, $9 million deal. It's just, again, a mercenary signing at age 35. Can understand why Green Bay didn't do it. Number 29, Darius Slayton, stayed with the Giants on a 3 year, $36 million deal. That deal would have been a non-starter for me. Number 30, Paulson Adebo. We talked about him as a really fun, maybe more value kind of free agent signing if you could get him for like basically what you got Hobbs at, right? The issue is Adebo went 3 years, 54. And I think you can actually make an argument that the Giants overpaid. There are still some flaws in Adebo's game, and he's also coming off a major injury. And 3 years, 54 is a pretty big gamble to spend on him coming off his few seasons in New Orleans. So I can understand, again, why Green Bay didn't want to do that. Dio Odenigbo, I think, was a pretty solid signing at 3 years, 48, $16 million per. This is still an upside play for Chicago. There is no guarantee that he just all of a sudden becomes a big-time pass rusher. I liked Odenigbo. I would have been open to this sort of contract, but it's probably still an overpay, and you would have had to, again, make the projection here. And I'll just say it this way. If you're not, or I'll put it this way, if you are okay with Odenigbo, if that's somebody that you would have signed, then you should be okay with banks because they're basically in a way, like they've done some good stuff already. They're good players. They're going to add to your team. Adenigbo on the defensive line, Banks on the offensive line. They both could be so much better. There's a little bit of projection with each. And I will actually say that I think Banks right now has been a better offensive lineman than Adenigbo has been a defensive lineman. So I will say one more time, I don't think this changes the calculus all that much for Green Bay, other than maybe you get a little bit more of an upside pass rusher here than an upside offensive lineman. This is one I would have considered, sincerely, but I think you can make the argument of, I can understand why they went with Banks instead of Adenigbo on a bigger contract. James Daniels, 3 years, 24. He's just not good enough for that kind of contract. Wouldn't have been interested. Chase Young stayed with his team. Dan Moore, huge payday, and would have been a worse left tackle than Rashid Walker. Aaron Banks, number 35. That's who they signed. So there you go. That's Green Bay's first one. Evan Engram would have been tough with Kraft and Musgrave already on the roster. Tevin Jenkins remains unsigned. It's going to be interesting to see what he gets, but he's just never, ever stayed healthy. 4 years in the league and has never even come close to completing a full season. So that probably is why they didn't maybe go in that direction. Russell Wilson, they don't need a quarterback. Jalen Moore, again, an overpay at a left tackle who would have been worse than Rashid Walker. Justin Reed, they don't need a safety. Ryan Kelly is probably another one that you could have been fine maybe with that deal. You know, 2 years, $18 million for a veteran center. Like, I would have been fine if they wanted to go in that direction and you know, bring in a veteran center. He ended up in Minnesota, which is kind of another bummer of this. But 2 years, $18 million, but 32 in May. He's going to be 32 years old. You get the younger, more explosive, better option in Aaron Banks. Again, moving Jenkins to center than what Ryan Kelly would have been. But at 2 years, 18, wouldn't have hated that contract. I'm going to repeat myself, which I tend to do sometimes, I get. But would Ryan Kelly and, you know, they would have had more money to spend elsewhere, but would Ryan Kelly and Nate Hobbs been a bigger difference maker for you? Probably not. J.K. Dobbins at 42, they didn't need a running back. Juwan Johnson at 43, non-starter with Kraft and Musgrave already in hand. 44, Keenan Allen, they don't need a veteran, slow, slot wide receiver. Najee Harris at 45, they didn't need a running back. Nate Hobbs, 46, there's your next Green Bay Packer. 47, Tershawn Wharton. I would have been fine with them looking at Wharton, but not at 3 years, $45.6 million and overpay for Carolina. DeMarcus Lawrence at 48, got 3 years, 32.5. He's had Liz Frank injury. He's 33 years old. He can't stay on the field. I don't know what Seattle's thinking with that deal. Why are you going young in Seattle and jettisoning off all of your DK Metcalfs and you know, some and Geno Smith and set, like, and then signing DeMarcus Lawrence makes no sense whatsoever. Josh Myers was 48.9, a 1 year, $2 million deal. Sure, if Green Bay wanted to do it, wouldn't have changed the calculus at all. And then Rico Dowdle, they don't need a running back. Those are your top 50 free agents by ESPN and Matt Bowen. There's a few deals, and again, we'll get to them in just a second, that I would have considered, but it's tough to say, like, oh, look at the star that they missed out on. Now, there were 17 other players that either were traded or could be traded, sorry, 18 others that are on this list. There were not on the list that we need to discuss. Darius Slay was released by the Eagles, 1 year, $10 million fully guaranteed. I would have considered that. That is one that even by the way, if you sign Nate Hobbs, I still would have considered Darius Slay at 1 year, $10 million fully guaranteed. That being said, 35 years old, I can get why Green Bay maybe didn't want to go in that direction. I would have very much been in on that if I were Green Bay. Number two, Grady Jarrett, 3 years, $42 million, cut by the Falcons, signed by Green Bay, $14.2 million per year, 32 years old, has been on a pretty significant decline, is more of that pass rush specialist, not the run stopper. Don't think he would have been a perfect fit for Green Bay and not at that price. Davante Adams, number three, we've talked about this. I don't think Green Bay was beating out that Rams offer. Perfect team, wanted to go to LA, got the quarterback, got the coach, got the competitive team, got the contract he wanted, got the city, got all of it, right? He got everything he wanted. Just don't think Green Bay would have been able to beat out LA for that, for his services. Number four, DK Metcalf. 5 years, $150 million, plus it would have cost a second round pick, $30 million per on a 5 year deal, plus a top, 50 pick in the draft, basically. That is a really, really, really tough sell. A really tough sell. And I can understand very much so why Green Bay did not want to go in that direction. Javon Hargrave, cut by 49ers, 2 years, $30 million in Minnesota. I think it's a good fit for him in Minnesota. Again, pass rush specialist more, which is what they did, do need pass rushers, but didn't play almost all of last year, 32 years old, $15 million per year. I'm fine with not doing that deal. Cooper Kupp, still a free agent, old, can't separate. Harold Landry, 3 years, $43.5 million, 14.5 mil average, more of a platoon player, pass rush only, not great against the run, and disappears for large stretches. You'll see him go on a little bit of a tear now and again, but he also will disappear from games, and it's kind of what Green Bay already has from a pass rush standpoint. Ronnie Stanley was re-signed in Baltimore. Zach Bond was re-signed in Philly. Osa Odighizuwa was re-signed in Dallas. Khalil Mack was re-signed with the Chargers. Alaric Jackson was re-signed with the Rams. They didn't even have options to sign any of those players. Bears traded a late pick for Jonah Jackson. Don't think that he would have been Green Bay's type. I think they would have liked Banks more in that situation. Joe Thuney, or Thuney, I should say, from the Chiefs. They could have traded a fourth-round pick for him, but a one-year $16 million mercenary guy. I don't know that I'm giving up a fourth-round pick and $16 million for 1 year of Joe Thuney. And then if you have to sign him to a big year, you know, big deal, like 3-4 years, again, he's older. So I think you maybe just decide to go with the younger player in Banks and then not have to give up a fourth-round pick in that situation. Deebo Samuel, we talked about ahead of time. I think he would have been a fun piece in Matt LaFleur's offense, but not what they need. They've got running backs. They're not going to play him a ton in the backfield. That's just taking away snaps from their already talented group of running backs. And they don't need him in the slot because they've got Jaden Reed as well, and Dontavian Wicks for that matter. I think they would have found creative ways to use him. I don't think he was what they needed for a trade plus a contract. Very fine with Green Bay not going in that direction. Christian Kirk, seventh round pick. I don't think they would have signed him. I don't think they would have signed him to that deal because they don't need the slot guy and he's older, and Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks probably just better at this point. And then Laramie Tunsil, they were never going to give up big draft picks for a tackle, and who, quite frankly, like, just hasn't been quite as good as his reputation is maybe said he has been as of late. And then that brings you to Trey Hendrickson, somebody that's still left. Could Green Bay do that? Sure. I don't think they're going to, but that would be the one that's out there still that would maybe make sense, that could get you that star player in Green Bay. So all of that being said, our lightning round of potential free agents for Green Bay. Josh Sweat, who was available, I think at 4 years, 76, you maybe could have considered. Carlton Davis, 3 years, 54. Drew Dahlman, 3 years, 42. Kevin Zeitler, 1 for 9. Dio Odenigbo, 3 years for 48. Darius Slay, 1 for 10. Maybe Ryan Kelly at 2 for 18. Is there any combination of those that would have really been like, oh my God, Green Bay hit a home run? Maybe Sweat and Davis, like if they got Josh Sweat and Carlton Davis, like they probably could have done that instead of what they did. I think that would have been a little bit, felt a little bit different. Still have some questions on O-line, still have some questions at wide receiver, but they went out and got a pretty solid outside corner in Carlton Davis and a really nice edge rusher in Josh Sweat. I think you can make an argument, but again, we don't know if those players were even interested in coming to Green Bay in the first place. Maybe Josh Sweat and Adarius Slay, two players from Philly, would have left you a little bit left over with Slay only getting a one-year $10 million deal. Maybe, you know, they go Dahlman at center, Odenigbo on the defensive line, and Darius Slay at corner. Probably could have got those three for the same price. I'll say one more time, we don't know if those players would have come to Green Bay in the first place. It's tough to look what was out there and say, this is a clear and obvious situation that Green Bay could have done. I'll listen on some of these players. I'll listen on a DK Metcalf. Like if you said like they should have done that deal, I think it's over aggressive, quite frankly, but I can understand why you would have wanted to do it. If you wanted to give up a second round pick and 30 mil per, awesome. You no longer have Aaron Banks. Like he is no longer an option. You're losing some additional salary cap space there, and you no longer have a second round pick. Would have helped the wide receiver position. I don't know that it makes you this, you know, perfect team still. Does Metcalf and, you know, no longer having a second round pick and still going with Hobbs, you know, make it a different offseason? Maybe you feel better about that. But I think you can look through the lens of Brian Gutekunst and understand why a lot of these deals were not ideal, no pun intended, and why he maybe went in the direction that he did. You can make an argument that Aaron Banks' deal is not ideal, and maybe even that Nate Hobbs' deal is not ideal. I think that one's more understandable. But he went out, he found two players that he really liked, found an upgrade on the offensive line, found more versatility in the secondary, and this is what he could get. A little bit underwhelming? Sure, maybe. You put together what free agents you would have signed here. Even if all of these deals would have been available to Green Bay, what would you have done with using similar money? Again, I think Josh Sweat, Carlton Davis, Drew Dahlman, Dio Odenigbo, maybe Darius Slay. But again, there's red flags with a lot of these players too. They would not have been perfect 1A signings. I think some of the really expensive ones like Milton Williams and DK Metcalf were probably just a bridge too far from a contract and or overall compensation standpoint. Tough to put together. It really is. And I think when you look at it through that view, you can understand a little bit better why Green Bay did what they did and maybe why they didn't end up with a DK Metcalf or Milt Williams or a quote unquote star player. We talked about it before free agency. It was a bad class. It was tough to put together a group that made perfect sense for the Packers. This is what they got. I'm confident that Goody knows what he's doing when it comes to pro personnel side. He's not steered Green Bay wrong at all in any of those signings. I liked what I've seen from both of these players via tape. And I think Green Bay navigated this maybe as best as they could have, given what we know now. Interesting to look at it this way. You may disagree. That's totally cool. Like I said, I want to hear what you think. What would you have done? Which of these contracts would you have been very interested in if you were Brian Gutekunst, assuming they were even available to the Packers in the first place? That's going to do it for me today. Thank you as always for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Steph Keat, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, and Jake Conner. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.